This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
Like this sound effect Jesus. Summing up like the beginning of the show for us. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, and Doc Hugh is away this week. But
this is what happens when it's just me and Sarah in the studio.
Yeah,
we start with one song.
Yeah. We're like, okay,
God.
We need a minute to compose ourselves. How
okay,
are you doing?
In case you're wondering, I've just got off of my bike. I haven't fallen off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing a mental run from the West End to get up here our magical studio, which floats
Palace.
Above North London. And it was a sweaty ride. It was a lot hotter than
yeah.
I gave it credit for.
I know. I think everyone today is kind of like, okay, I was not ready for this weather.
I was also carrying three bags, one big rucksack and two plastic bags, which I really didn't want. But
well, you look good. And
really?
That's what counts.
That's amazing. I've got to carry more yes men with me. It's just, celebrity life is just so good.
But yeah, it's all about promoting that cycling lifestyle as well.
Yes, very much
Both
so.
Both Doc and I are passionate cyclists
yes,
in London.
I attempted to ride to the very first show and my bike was promptly stolen whilst we were recording, which was lovely. So
yeah.
Then I drove in the next few weeks.
So you went right to the other end of the
yeah,
spectrum.
It's not the same, you know.
No, that's whack driving.
Sitting in the traffic jam trying to get here and then you get texted like, where are you? Because, you know, I always get here in good time.
Yeah.
And
hence, we're always ready to roll back.
And, you know, I can't say for sure when I'm going to get there because I'm in a car. Like, anything could change. Traffic lights, the idiots in front of me. Who knows? When you're on a bike,
I wonder
you can
how
say,
the rest of the population
you can say, I'm
going to
be there in 3 minutes.
It's true. No,
I'm
that
be
is
there.
Another good
I'm
thing
I'm going to be there
school.
When I'm there. I'm telling you, I'm going to be there. When I'm on my bike, I can guarantee it. When I'm in a car, I can't guarantee jack.
So, yeah, when Doc's saying, like, on his bicycle, I'm going to be there at 1 minute to four, I promise you.
And have I ever not been there at 1 minute to four? I'm
no,
always
once
there.
I think you're 3 minutes past
there.
Four, maybe.
Okay.
And
well,
you should
have started
the
song
forfeit
that day. I could have gone on air.
Last week.
I could have gone on air, thank you, at 4 p.m. today, quite easily. But because I was sweating so much.
I have no doubt.
Because I was sweating so much, you felt the need to play a song.
Like,
but when I'm actually not here,
yourself.
I'd say play a song.
Yes.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, no, I have 100% faith
ready.
In you. I
I'm
know
always
you
ready.
Are.
I can rap
are.
About anything. I can do anything
exactly.
on air.
And remember, this week we want your subjects for Doc to rap
we
about
do.
At
Hashtag
the end of the show.
Rap about anything at FUBAR Radio on Twitter or at DocBrown88 or at Sarah. So what's your handle? DJ Sarah Love.
That's right.
Or at DJ Sarah Love. You know, hit us with your hashtag suggestions. I've already had a wealth of suggestions. Thank you very much. But what I need is that one that just makes me laugh just looking at it. And then that's the one I'm going to write about.
Yeah,
yeah?
Pete
so keep
in Pimlico coming. Did, he inspired you quite a lot last week, didn't
Pete
he?
Pete in Pimlico, we're thinking perhaps, because I start on a new TV shoot tomorrow.
Yes, and we want to hear all about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that in a bit. And Hugh, of course, is poncing around, mincing about on stage at the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
It's all very
which
glamorous.
Leads, ironically, the chief globetrotter of the trio holding fort next week.
For 1 week.
For 1 week,
until
without
about.
Me or Hugh. And I don't know, speaking to Pete in Pimlico, I just thought, what a fucking legend this guy. I mean, have you ever heard anyone like him? The thing is, because we've never met him, like, I try and picture him.
I know.
And I just can't quite picture him. I think he's black. I don't say that out of any disrespect or
no,
any kind of racism.
No.
I'm telling you now, yeah, and you can call in if you want to have a beef with me over this. I know the difference between the sound of a black person and a white person.
Give me a high
person.
Five to that.
I was going to say that on air.
Many times
I was going to say that
people.
On air. If I never met Sarah Love, I would guess she was black or mixed race. I'm just throwing it out there. I know. It's the same way I can tell if you're Australian before you open your mouth, just from looking at you on the street. I'm not saying it's a racist thing. I'm just saying it's a skill that I have. All right?
No,
okay?
But definitely,
that's
like,
all I'm
you
saying.
Can hit, I think, as a black person, you can recognize when you're listening
one
to
or
black
two
voice.
People might throw me, but I'm saying it's one or two. Like people say, oh, what about Ainsley Harriet? No, I would know Ainsley Harriet
even,
is black. Even with that voice. Chris Eubank, even with that voice, I know he's black. I can't tell you what it
I
is.
Like these examples.
You just got to grow up in a black family and you just understand there's a slightly different cadence. There's a slightly different tone to the voice.
The,
I don't know what it is.
The aura of the,
all right?
the soul.
We're not talking about...
Yeah, so we're guessing that Pete and Bimlico is black.
I'm guessing.
I'm putting forward
but I don't
that
know what
Pete
he looks
does.
Like. I don't know what he looks like.
I reckon he's got locks.
You reckon? Now, this is coming from someone with locks, so don't take that in the wrong way either,
I reckon he's got locks.
He's unemployed. That much is guaranteed. Because
he's available to
he's
think of things
always
for you
available.
To rap about.
He's
every
always
week.
Available, and he's got lists of issues.
Yeah, gripes.
He's got gripes.
He's got gripes in
he's
Pimlico.
He's got full time gripes.
We should just rename him Gripes in Pimlico.
Gripes. Pete Gripes.
MC Gripes.
Pete Gripes.
But I'm putting forward that we have a news section live from Pimlico.
Okay. I mean, listen, I'm totally up for getting him involved in everything because he just... Listen back to the podcast.
Yes, definitely check out last week's podcast, the subject that Pete put forward for Dr. Rapabam, which he did kind of nail.
Was it the week before that or the week before that? I can't remember. But if you get at FUBAR Radio on Twitter or email us tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com, we'll send you the links for the podcast. Honestly, you got to go back and just check some of our guests, man, because it's been stellar from start to finish.
Jeff and Kilburn, to
Jeff
you
and
well.
Kilburn as well.
Jeff and Kilburn,
he's like
I
the
think
white version
white.
Of Pete.
Yeah, I want to pit them against each other.
And let's be real here.
Let's give them a debating
Sarah
section
Sarah and I
in
have
the
never
show.
Seen either of these men.
We're purely
but I know
just...
Jeff is white and I know Pete is black. And I know they would get on. They would have a lot of shit to talk about. It'd be beautiful.
I want to set them up in like a debate situation.
Yeah, man. Debating society.
Yeah. Kilburn versus
oh,
Pimlico.
Man.
I'm down.
Amazing.
And you've
amazing.
Also been doing stuff at Royal Albert Hall, is that correct? Last week?
Yeah, well, there was a week, wasn't there, where I came in really smartly dressed. I don't know if you were in or not. I think maybe it was just Hugh. I had my suit jacket on. I was heading down to Royal Albert Hall to perform for Roger Daltrey's gig, which is Teenage Cancer Trust.
Wow.
So they have like a rock and roll day, then they have a comedy day. So I was down there on the comedy day with Kevin Bridges and Frankie Boyle. And it was just beautiful, man. Like that venue's obviously incredible.
Yeah.
You meet all the kids as well, which like just puts everything into perspective, like before you go on stage. So it's not just like, it's a big crowd. So I'll go down there and like boost my fan base.
It's
like
real.
Like I'm singing at Obama's inauguration, even though I'm a Republican.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you meet all the teenagers that all, struggling with cancer. And it's very real. Do you know what I mean? There's so many charities I get involved with. And it's like, you do the keynote speech or whatever, you get somebody from the organization to take you through all the problems. And you do take it on board, but there's something about just meeting like the actual people that the charity is there for and
That's
talking
brilliant.
To them one-on-one. And it's like, oh, wow, this is like, you could be my sister. Do you know what I mean? You could be my brother. This could be something that's happening to me. You could be me. And that sort of, you can just tell from the performances, it elevated everybody, and the vibe was incredible, man.
Aww.
Yeah.
Is this something that we can...
You know what? I don't even know. Like, I think they keep it kind of under wraps a little bit so that they can maximize the money that they make on the night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So, like, on the rock and roll
I'm
one, they had,
that.
Like, Stereophonics. And in fact, actually, our friend of the show, Michael Payne, I think he did a thing there with Rizzle Kicks. And, you know, they get the biggest names. Obviously, it's Roger Daltrey booking, do you know what I'm saying, from The Who. So you're getting the
so
biggest names.
So it's him who's set this whole thing up from scratch.
He's kind of like the big patron of the charity, and then he's brought all of his contacts to create an amazing talent scouting team
Wonderful.
For Teenage Cancer Trust, and they get the very best people there. And obviously they charge highly, but then at the same time the money they must make over that week is unreal.
When I
got on stage, I thought, wow, like... Macmillan Cancer Trust must be screwing Danny Dyer opening a Sainsbury's on Saturday. Like it's just amazing. No, it's incredible.
That was cool. Yeah. And what did you do a set especially for that?
I'd just done a stand up set for Comic Relief that I wrote purely for that. And this one came so hot on the heels, I didn't have much time to write stuff. So I did like a few little bespoke jokes, and then I did just like some stuff that I thought would you know, would work for that crowd. It's always hard doing comedy because you want to be in the moment. Mm. And at the same time, you're like, I don't want to not be funny. So you're like, okay, let me mix it up with some improv and some jokes that I know will kill. You know what I'm saying? But like, as soon as you start doing jokes that are well pre-prepared, you never know how they're going to go over with a whole new audience. Mm, you know what I'm saying?
So, I don't know how you guys do it, man. I wouldn't even know
where to
start.
Bigger the crowd, in a weird way, the easier it is. Because if you've got like 3,000 people, then at least 1,000 people are going to like you. Do you know what I mean? They're going to get
and
what,
then I guess you've got
from
a bit of the mob yeah mentality.
Whereas if it's 30 people and you've got 10 people who like
who
you,
who are hating you.
Yeah, that yeah shit, that shit really, it really tells. Mm, so,
but that's
no,
a
yeah,
good
I
place to
it
cut your teeth.
Nice.
And then what's this ITV documentary? This ITV show,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah. This is the reason I won't be around for the next few weeks. Yeah, I just, you know, I've been auditioning a lot and been, you know, I'm on my drama as well as my comedy, and I got this role playing a character from a very popular series of books called the Merrily Watkins Mysteries, and ITV are doing a 3-part adaptation of the second book, which is called Midwinter of the Spirit, and this is like a series of horror books sort of mixed with sort of crime thriller about this female vicar who gets caught up in a lot of weird occult shit.
Are you playing the female vicar?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's my first time in drag, and I'm a remarkably hot woman. even in a cassock.
It doesn't surprise
even in,
me,
even
Ben.
In a cassock, the female following on
you're
Twitter has trebled. No, the female vicar is played by the amazing Anna Maxwell Martin, who's
fantastic.
Oh, really? It's a cool middle name. Who is she's a fantastic actress, and fans of television drama will know her very well. And then co-starring David Threlfall and myself. David Threlfall is probably known to people best as Frank Gallagher, the main character from Shameless.
Mm-hmm.
And then me, people will know from
Fubar Radio.
Yeah. And
when is it going to be on TV?
I reckon it'll probably drop around, considering we're going to wrap in the end of May. So mm-hmm. I would say editing wise, and it's Midwinter of the Spirit. It's a very sort of cold, bleak, scary, dark occult thriller. So I would say they'd probably
they're
drop it around
back
October or November.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not holding it back to Christmas. Well, we'll wait and see.
Very
but yeah,
cool.
The next 6 weeks I'll be up in Manchester and Hereford shooting that, and I'll try and come down on the weekends, see the family, see my friends if I can.
Beautiful.
But I'm gonna be locked into that world.
Mm.
Solving the crimes
well,
of
we can't wait
the
to get,
occult.
Yes. But we can't wait to get you back as well. And today we have a special guest coming in later.
Oh,
so you know John C. D, surely.
Yeah, of course. Listen,
surely. What
there's
a
certain names in hip hop in you the know? UK that you could probably boost to legendary status.
Yeah, what such an ill contribution.
I would say John Z is inarguably, I don't mean you can argue it, I think he's definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about the span, the amount of time he stayed relevant, the range
prolific
of things he's done,
mm-hmm.
he's prolific, he's a playwright, so he's one of the first guys to move outside of rap and take everything that he learned from it and apply it to a world where we've never really been welcome, do you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean, the theatre.
And you know he's had the MBE nomination.
So he should.
So there's so much to talk to him about.
He is like our Norman J, I mean, or like our Goldie. Do you know what I'm saying? He's somebody mm-hmm. who's taken our music and our culture to a whole different world and got that respect and accolades.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely.
So he's going to be joining us in not too long. So hold tight for that. There's so much to chat with him about. Mm. And he's also the man behind the Breaking Convention, which, I don't know, have you been to down to Breaking
of
Convention
course.
Before?
Of course, not for many years, but I think he might have also been. Was he involved with Funking Pussy?
With Apricot Jam.
Yeah. Do you remember in Covent Garden, the Africa Centre?
I'm sure he was definitely part of that. But what's his name? Funking Pussy was that dude, Chris, who I've not heard from for like years.
Yeah.
I've not heard from him, I think, since the original deal.
I saw Crazy Legs down there a couple of times, man. Like Crazy Legs.
Amazing.
The original Latino breakdowns. It's nuts.
And we've got like lots else to talk about this week as well. You've got your No They Didn't, which you're going to introduce us to shortly as well. And you know, this week is Record Store. Well, this weekend is Record Store Day. How cool is that?
Man.
That's like one of my favorite. I put that above Christmas.
I mean, this is big for old school hacks like us.
What
man.
Are you trying to
like,
say?
No, I'm just saying, like, no, we're old and, you know.
But we still got it.
We still got it, obviously, we still got it. But, I mean, like, just to celebrate vinyl, it's such a joyous thing, isn't it? You know, like, I've been bumping, like, the new Kendrick, the new Action Bronson, the new Drake. And loving all the albums.
There's
but
so
I don't know who produced anything. I'm not as involved with the music, partly because of my first listen experience. My first listen experience now is in the car or it's on my headphones. Whereas with vinyl, it was always like, get home.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, clear a space.
And that's why I'm so happy that this
on,
record
and then
store
kick
day.
Back and sit and read the liner notes
exactly.
and you're really involved.
Because it's bringing the focus back to appreciating music on that level rather than it just being so disposable, like next, click, click, click. So, we're going to chat a little bit about record store day too. So, hold tight. We love hearing from you guys as well. You can get in touch with us on the phone on 0330-223-0200. TuesdayJive@FUBARRadio.com is the email and tweet us as well. And speaking of Record Store Day and UKGs, right now I want to play you something from Scorsese. He's coming straight out of Nottingham.
Back.
Oh yeah. He's got a new album out at the moment as well. This one is called Bringing It Back. It's produced by Juggernaut. You're tuned into FUBAR. UK hip hop, what an ill story we have, you know.
Oh,
and I just think it's such a shame because there's so many artists in the UK who I think have reaped the benefits of like this, the doors we broke down like in the hip hop scene, but they have no idea about it.
No, not at all. I mean, we preceded YouTube and we preceded Twitter and
we preceded
Instagram,
camera phones.
We preceded smartphones. So therefore, we didn't exist. Nothing existed before an iPhone captured it.
But you know,
so we are completely irrelevant.
No, but you know what? Why I love it though, because remember the days when people would say, you just had to be there.
You just had to be there, man.
Like
you
now that
it.
Doesn't exist
you
because everyone's got a phone to whip out and
have.
Take some crappy video of it.
And then people would be fronting like they were there because they seen all these little details and they're like, oh yeah, that bit where this happened and that happened. Bro, you weren't there. and the thing with us, we know who was there and who wasn't, and it's love. Like it's mad. Like if I could bump into some of the world's biggest stars, like example Estelle, Professor Green.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like in the midst of all the hangers on and the flipping Oscar people
like,
and the Emmys people that come over and say, yeah, well gone. Yeah, bless. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's
like
real, like
front.
Those who know, and if you don't know, then you don't know. It's as simple as that.
I think we were really lucky to be able to be a part of that, like twilight era. You know, like for me, I feel so privileged.
I feel properly blessed because when I was a kid, I used to look up to like the people that were doing it. Like I remember buying my first Mud Family 12-inch, and I had some Blade stuff and Lewis Parker, and these people were like gods to me.
You're
bringing
a tear to my eye.
And when I became a part of it, I felt blessed at that time. And then
for real,
when it all came to an end, kind of thing, or when it sort of dissipated and became something else, I just thought, well, you know, at least I was a part of it. No one will remember me, but at least I was a part of it. And it's nuts now, like seeing the kids come up. You know, Rizzle Kicks and all these youngsters coming up and saying, yeah, like the Don't Flop guys, yeah, we used to watch you, we used to buy your shit, we used to be at the parties,
and
we used to see you hosting, and you think, oh, wow, I was a torchbearer as well.
I
didn't even realise.
And it's a trip to me, like going to the other side of the world, me being in New Zealand or something, DJing, and kids coming up to me, they're like, oh, Kung Fu, we obsessed over that DVD.
It
like, it means so
world.
Much to us, and that's influenced our scene
totally.
So much. That's crazy how
so we,
far
we,
they
yeah, we read about like Black Door and CBGBs and all these places in New York in the 80s and early 90s where rap was doing its thing but it wasn't recorded, and we read about that stuff and it becomes mythical, you know, like a fairy tale. What we don't realize is the stuff that we were doing that wasn't recorded, it's become mythical to a lot of people, like you say, in New Zealand, in Norway, all over the world. And
so intense, man.
Yeah, we don't really give it that kind of credit, but it's probably the best that we don't because I've always sound like wankers.
No, but that's also why I think it's important that stories are told the right way, hence having people like Jonzy D come through to the show later today, you know, because someone needs to, people like us who have the experience and knowledge, we need to pass on the information
and
so stories
that,
are told correct.
On that note, we should have a quick shout out for the Dil Real legacy. You know, they're bringing back Dil Real after 10 years. To remind people about the legendary stuff that went down in Carnaby Street that obviously I was at the forefront of 10 years ago. That's going to be kicking off from this week, man. This Thursday is the launch party, so you should get down there to Carnaby Street
basically
from 6 p.m.
this week,
check that out.
Yeah, it's all about celebrating that record store culture. We're going to get into more of that a bit later, but this is the point of the show where Doc brings to us issues, gripes. This is where you can kind of join forces with Pete and Bimbo.
But well, yeah. I'll never be on his level.
But, at least you recognise that. But yeah, this is the part of the show where we discuss things that have been going down this week, and we weigh it all up. But I think I've got some kind of we've got the theme tune.
Oh my god! Like no, they didn't.
Now they did.
Thanks, Hugh, for voicing that jingle. they didn't. There couldn't really be another topic. I mean, I spoke with the producer, Natalie, the wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous producer, Natalie, who stuffed some horrific shit in my mouth last week. I never thought...
This is what happens if you turn up late.
Would...
Pete and Bimlico, if you do ever get a show here, if you turn up late, you're going to be forced to eat cockroaches.
I never dreamed our moment would be like that, Natalie. But
his heart. I heard the pain in his heart there.
Yeah, there was only ever one choice for No They Didn't this week. Yeah. Obviously, it's the Canadian lad. And to quote him before we even tell you his name, don't misinterpret his shock. It was Drizzy. It was Drizzy at Coachella. I know you lot have read about this or heard about this. If you haven't, he was on stage doing his thing. He did one of his new songs off of the If You're Reading This It's Too Late track, the track Madonna. And who else but aged OAP hip hop slut Madonna Ciccone herself.
That was brutal.
To step to the stage. Hey, she fucked Big Daddy Kane in 1991. That was a hell of a long time ago.
Props.
No, props.
But that
props.
She gets props. No.
Props. I definitely got a man crush on Kane back in the
but
day.
But that earns her stripes, in my opinion. It's like, oh, right, yeah, okay, she's real. Kind of down. For no, real. Props to Kane. Like, what, he did the three-way with her and Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, big ups, Kane. So, big ups. But
yeah, he is kind of Don Dada,
yeah,
isn't he?
Rakim lost that battle, ultimately, on that basis alone.
I heard recently Big Daddy Kane say that for $500,000, he will battle Rakim. I think that'll be a sad day if that happens.
It will be, because first off, nobody's going to pay that money to see those two old guys. Like, the kids are going to be like, who are these guys?
Secondly,
I don't think either of them could really bring it now. And it's just a bit desperate.
I know. That's why I was like, I wished he had never even said that. But anyway.
But anywho, we digress massively.
Yes.
Croaky old turtle tortoise woman, Madonna, stepped on the stage. And tongued the child in the
she
way that
violated
she
him,
violated the child.
She
violated one of my mixed race, furry eyebrowed brethren with her face.
She was just like, I'm just taking advantage of this situation that he can't actually defend himself
The photo is intense. I mean, she has raped his face. There's no two ways about it.
But then it's the joke is how he's tried to be all like,
oh yeah, he's like,
oh no, you misinterpreted the expression on my face. Honestly, it wasn't like a big problem.
Just
like, it
hold
was fine.
On, Mads. We're going home. He's gonna save her now. If she wasn't, oh man, I bet he wishes she was like a troubled 21-year-old girl who doesn't realize how beautiful she was, because then he could save her. But you can't save Madonna. She's unsavable. But listen, I'm amazed that she's still pulling this shit. Didn't she kiss? Who did she kiss? She kissed ice cream. Ice cream van went past. Didn't she kiss a? She kissed a chick as well a couple years ago. Who was it? Was it Taylor Swift or somebody?
No,
Miley?
I have no idea. I'm not the person to ask.
Was it the young Madonna?
Kind of thing.
Who's
no
the sort
attention.
Of the hermaphrodite one? Lady Gaga.
Gaga.
Did they kiss? She kissed some
You're
chick.
Just gunning today. What is it? You called her an aged turtle, hermaphrodite.
She's a tortoise.
Damn.
She's a tortoise.
Damn, Doc, you're brutal, man. It's, but yeah, no, honestly, I would not be impressed if I was Drake.
Nah, man. Like, it reminds me of when Bob Dylan kissed, was it Rihanna? He kissed Rihanna. It's just like, it's like a tortoise eating a mango. Like, you just don't, like, it's just gross. Anyway.
But it made everyone kind of shudder a bit watching it. And you know she fully went, it, like, she violated his mouth with her
There's
tongue.
No,
like,
question.
She, it was no acting kiss.
Look at the photos.
It was no stage kiss.
Drake's face was violated by a tortoise tongue.
Like, he needs therapy now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Drake is a vulnerable guy. He's told you on his songs. He's got millions of dollars, but he's conflicted.
He needs a good woman. This is going to fuel all of his creativity for his next project, isn't it?
Yeah, like, well, I heard his new tune. I think it might have already done that. But, so, yeah, listen, what this got me thinking was, we've all been there. We've all been there, not on stage in front of millions at Coachella, but I mean, we've all been there in public where maybe you had one too many drinks, or I don't know, like the mood just got to you and you had a little frisson, let's say, a little like tongue hockey with somebody out on the street. Everybody's watching, but you don't care, you know? We just don't care. You're going for it. But, you know, a lot of people have issues with this. I mean, I remember, in fact, my ex-girlfriend and my wife, they're both the same. They're both like, don't kiss me in public. That shit is gross.
Oh,
nobody
really?
Wants to see that.
At
do you
all?
Know what I mean?
Yeah, what, don't a peck do on it. The lips?
Peck on the lips, maybe like a little
no
goodbye.
Tongue.
Do you know what I mean? But none, like, the ass groping thing is totally out. And I get that, I suppose. That's okay.
You're like, I'll go along with that if I have to.
But, you know, personally, like, if I had a few juices or whatever, like, I just want to get it started now. So then you get excited in the taxi, and then when you get home, it's like, it's just on and popping.
So there's a plan going in.
But
your
a lot
mind.
Of people will say, I don't want to see this shit. I don't, look, get a room. Get a room, you know? Get off the street. Go home. No one wants to see that. So it just made me think, are there two sides of the fence here? Like, are people okay with having like a full-on snog, or maybe even a little reach down the back of the jeans out in public on the street? Or do you feel like all of that shit should be behind closed doors? I want to hear from people other than Pete in Pimlico.
Pete,
there's
we
other
don't
people
hear
alive.
From you on this.
Let me know how you feel about PDAs, man. Public shows,
is it all
public
good?
Displays of affection. Is it all good, or is it
people
wrong?
People take it as like offense if you're not down with the PDA.
Totes. Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
yeah.
Some people, it's like offense if you're going for the PDA.
Well, there you go. I mean, you could have two sides of the fence, Sarah.
Maybe
right
we can
there
set
with,
up
within the kiss.
Jeff in Pimlico. Sorry, Jeff and Gilbert and Pete and Bimlico
a
to
PDA
argue each side.
Halfway, Edgware Road. have you gone for a PDA and then the other person you've gone for it with is completely anti-PDA?
Left you hanging.
Are you on one side? Are they on the other? are you in a long-term relationship where the other person's not into it and you are, or vice versa? I want to know. I just want to know where you stand on this shit. Because Drake did it on stage. He don't care. He don't care. And he's
well,
not
did he? I don't
or
know.
Or did he?
He
we don't know. We don't
like
know. We don't know.
He's trying to play it off like he didn't care.
No, I mean, Childline was inundated with calls from Toronto. That's what I heard. But
from Anonymous in Toronto.
But yeah, let us know at FUBAR Radio on Twitter, or you can email us tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com, or even give us a call.
We love talking to you. I love hearing your voices. Then we can guess if you're black or white.
And also, you might be in a PDA while you're calling. We'd love to hear your tongue lolling around as you try.
Doc would love to hear your tongue. I do not need to hear your tongue while we're talking to you on
any
the radio.
Any fans of the show should know my levels of filth and how far I'm willing to go. Okay, anyone who listened last week will know that. So give us a call, don't be shy. Let us know how you feel, or
PDA.
If you are shy, give us a call or text us or whatever you want to do. I just want to know your opinion.
Which side of the fence are you on when it comes to PDA?
PDA.
Is it all good, or is it a no-no? 0330 223 0200, give us a call. The other one that made me think about is like at weddings. Like, is there a rule for weddings?
I can't
like,
go
with the
to weddings now without my wife. Like, I can't go to anybody else's wedding, like, on my own. Because it's just it's crazy out there. You know that film Wedding Crashers? That shit's real. Like, you can't go into a wedding as a man, like, on your own. Because, there's women out there who have, like, I don't know what happens to them. But something happens and it mixes with alcohol. And it creates this kind of magical reaction wherein you Madonna just get
situation.
Hit, you get hit on like the straight DJ at GAY. Do you know what I mean? But by the few girls who have like gone in there for a late night drink. It's crazy.
Wow. Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do sometimes, isn't it? But yes, we need to hear from you guys. Hit us up. You can tweet us as well at FUBAR Radio. We want to know, PDA, is it all good or is it a total no-no?
Yeah, man.
This is kind of like a domestic
We should have played PDA
sort of.
By John Legend.
Oh, never mind. We need to dig that out. We'll have a look and get back to you with that one. But yeah, hit us up at FUBAR Radio. PDA, is it all good or no? I always love the cuts on that tune as well. Gosh, that was a good era of UK hip-hop music. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, and Doc Hugh is away this week. And we've been talking about PDAs. Okay, so obviously this week, Madonna kind of violated Drake's mouth live on stage in front of thousands of people. And he couldn't even hide his reaction at all. And we've been asking you guys what you think about a PDA, whether it's all good or it's a total no-no. I know there's lots of couples, they like really butt heads on this on pause.
I think it's like a honeymoon period thing a lot of the time. Do you know what I mean? There any motherfuckers out there that's been married for like 15 years, like snogging each other, like on the street? No.
No,
that doesn't happen.
But if they are, we're happy for them.
I'm happy for them, but still get a room. I can't really chat because I've been guilty of this so many times. So I can't really talk. But, you know, to some people it's a little bit gross.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to hear sounds from
smacking,
a stranger,
and
I don't want to
like
see
slurping and sucking sounds.
I don't want to see some people's tongues.
It's really weird because there's very few feelings that I enjoy more than having a random tongue in my mouth. But at the same time, you're right. Like seeing it is kind of gross
when you're not involved. I mean, yeah. If it's like complete strangers, yeah. Pissed
like when,
up
when
in
you,
the
when
pub.
You're sat on the bench in between the two people, it's mad.
Yeah,
awkward.
That's quite intense, isn't it? But Pete in Pimlico, are you with us?
Yeah,
big Pete.
Yeah,
it's like yeah, of
yeah,
course
guys.
I am. And Pete, like of course, you're becoming like a bit of a regular on this.
I'd call him a contributor.
Yeah,
call him a contributor.
But yeah, contributor.
So,
but I'm wondering, what is Pete in Pimlico's stance on PDAs? Is it all good or is it like
well,
no, no?
When I heard PDA, I was thinking personal. Digital assistants, and I used to sell them. I thought I could come on and sell a few.
Give us your pitch, Pete. What would your pitch be if we were?
Well, you know,
about...
before how what the pen and paper is history, blood. It's history, isn't it? Why not have a personal digital assistant with one of them plastic stylus? You know, and put the information in it, read your writing.
I can see you've got a strong business plan behind you there, Pete. But what about
used to? Yeah, till Bill Gates. Yeah,
he shut down.
Yeah, I mean,
he ruined it for Pete and Pimlico.
Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Oh, he
you got
shit.
Beef with.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, Steve
been Bill
Job, one of them. I don't know which one. One of them.
One of them.
Yeah,
same
PDAs.
Difference. Yeah. What do you reckon?
I like them.
I bet you do. No, I mean, are
I mean,
you saying
for yourself
like
or like
them.
You
I
don't
like,
mind
I
seeing
like
them?
Seeing.
You
like
seeing them?
I like seeing them as well.
Okay. Hold on, wait. Before we go any further, Pete, can we confirm that you? Can we confirm that you are black?
I'm black.
Are you?
Black or white? I'm black and white, I am.
Yay!
Know?
Yay! Nicholas, right. People are taking right. over the station.
Okay.
I'm off at the same time.
Okay, because this is a situation, Pete, before we get back into the PDA thing. We were talking about what a brilliant guest you've always been and a contributor on the show.
Yeah, true, yeah.
I was saying, like, and I guarantee you he's black or mixed race. We were just trying to work out what you look like.
I had no
idea. And Sarah said,
doubt.
Yeah, definitely. And then we started talking about, well, actually, that's open for debate because a lot of people say you can't hear a man's, like, ethnic makeup through the phone. But I believe that you can, right? And
you
as
can,
two people
easy.
Of colour on the show, me and Sarah both agreed on this. So it's not that controversial. And I'm just glad to hear you back that up because it would have fucked
would
up the whole
really
theory.
Embarrassing.
It would have been embarrassing.
But don't you
no,
reckon,
but, you know,
Pete?
We know when we're talking, you know, to each other. You know what I mean? It's
no,
how it goes.
But
it?
I mean, even just in the tone of the voice, you can sense something, pick up on something,
something.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay.
Tumblr.
Anyway, let's move on from that. So, yeah, but you're saying
yeah,
PDA.
Yeah, move on. It doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter anyway.
No, of course not.
No,
no
it doesn't
we're
matter.
Not saying that.
It's just an interesting observation.
You're saying
that's
it
all.
Matters.
What?
No, he's not saying that it matters.
No. We're not saying it matters here.
Listen, we don't want to
lose. Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
We don't want to lose 91.6% of our listenership.
Yeah.
So let's just stay cool.
Yeah, but it does
here.
Matter as well at the same time as it not mattering.
Deep.
What's that? That's too much for me, Pete.
Yeah.
You went into Stellarium right now, man. You went into Stellarium. You're
myself.
Behind the bookcase right now, man. I'm tricking out.
But back to the BDAs.
Listen. So you obviously you're all good having them. I'm in your camp. How do you feel when you're walking home? You know, you're about your business. You're working out your next next business proposition that you're going to bring to the streets and make some money off. You're all about business, and all of a sudden, some couple burst out of the pub door in front of you and start tonguing each other down, big style,
like Drake and Madonna the other
right
day,
right in front of your face.
Well, I might have a pause from thinking about the business, you know.
Yeah, you focus. Stay focused.
Break in the thought and help it. You know, help me. Maybe come out of this zone. Go and have a look. I saw one yesterday.
Come back with fresh eyes.
I saw one yesterday in
Break
a hatchback car. A man stuck in his. Well, I don't know if it was his girlfriend. Probably not in it because he's in
a family car.
Rewind. This is not a family show, Pete. So be free. What did you say? Are you in a hatchback car?
He was stuck in his girlfriend's titty like he was a baby. The milk is lactating. But
whoa. Pete, can we? There's a lot of shit here I need to clarify. Sarah's stepping out of this convo now. This is man to man. Was it above blouse, under blouse, over bra, or under bra?
It was the mouth on the bare titty.
Bare titty.
Did this really happen, Peter, or is this your imagination?
Is this Pimlico?
I couldn't stop and look. I was embarrassed, lad, so I walked on by, but I saw it with my own eyes.
Is this how people get down in Pimlico?
People get down in Pimlico, yeah.
Damn. But you didn't have anything against that, per se?
I'm not against it at all.
Did you see anyone else's reaction? Was anyone else's reaction kind of like, what the hell? You are?
I felt like a ghost because they were going a bit further than normal, what is normal, you know?
Okay, so basically what I'm getting from this is that Pete is down with
Pete
the
is 100%
BDA.
Down.
I wanted to watch it, but...
Yeah. Well, listen, send us the footage and our listeners can check it out at FUBAR Radio on Twitter.
But we've got some emails as well.
Thanks,
what
Pete,
are they saying on the URG?
We have got some emails. People are very passionate about this. First off, should we go for an against or a with, Sarah? You choose.
Well, against to balance
start
out
with an
from
against.
Pete's passionate.
And surprise, surprise, the first against is from a female.
You're turning this into AKA, girls versus boys.
AKA the fun haters.
Oh, I see. Listen, there's no generalizations going on here.
It's from Bess in Ryslip. Thank you so much, Bess, for your email.
Thank you, Bess.
Hi, Doc and Sarah. I hate PDAs. And I once went out with a boyfriend. This is a great email, by the way. I once went out with a boyfriend I like to call, and this is in quotation marks, the washing machine. Due to his kissing technique.
Ooh.
He always used to do a full-on PDA in pubs, bars, clubs, you name it. He tried to rinse cycle me.
Is this Drake?
You name it.
It sounds like this is Drake emailing us.
You name it. He tried to rinse cycle me in it. It got so bad, I had to tell him it wasn't him, it was me, and I had a phobia of kissing, so I couldn't go out with him anymore.
Wow.
It was for the best. Best. Listen.
That's deep.
That's hardcore, man. That's hardcore. I mean, you didn't see it as like he was just really, really into you and he just couldn't hide it. He just wanted to show the world how much he was into you. Couldn't see that.
But you know sometimes when it's like...
It's too much.
Get
your hands off me.
Kisses aren't compatible.
I'll tell you when it is kind of wrong, yeah. When you're out with other friends and then the guy that you've brought or the girl that you've brought is just on you the whole time. Like, I'm trying to have a conversation here. Like, I'm trying to catch up with my mate.
This
and
is
you're
not
like,
what
tonguing,
it's like being
tonguing
a superstar
down.
Comedian like Doc. It's
this
like,
is like bro, listen,
batting the
bro,
girls off. I'm control yourself, ladies.
I'm trying to do an hour of stand-up here. Just get the hell off me.
I'm working. The Royal Albert Hall.
Baby, I'm working. So here's a four. Thanks, Bess. Here's a four. This is a really simple one from Vince in Canterbury. I love a nice bit of PDA.
Is that a guy?
Yeah, this is Vince. Okay. Vince in Canterbury. If a girl won't kiss me in public, she don't like me. Simple. Thanks, Vince. Thanks, Vince. And then actually, it's quite nice. We'll finish with Adam Baker, who's he's tweeted the studio actually. And he's just said, he's on both sides of the fence with this. Ooh. So he's for it with his missus, but he's well against being gammed by an OAP with halitosis. Smiley face. Now, I've never heard the phrase gammed. Has anyone
Me
heard
neither.
That?
Gammed? Have you heard gammed?
Gammed?
No.
Maybe, so do you maybe think he means gummed? Do you think he means gummed?
Maybe gummed. Yeah, maybe it's the autocorrect.
He's assuming
or
like an OAP hasn't got teeth, which is... that's really wrong, because a lot of them have got dentures. And a lot of them are actually very experienced kissers, Adam. So...
You're speaking from experience.
I'm speaking
though.
From experience.
But wouldn't it be better to take the teeth out first?
And Cheryl's come in for the ladies.
Cheryl, tell us.
And Cheryl just says, "I'm a serious PDA-er. I've put it on my dating profile."
Oh,
boom.
Yes,
Cheryl.
Cheryl.
Let me know which profile.
She's proud.
We'll
I like
be back
that.
In
That's
touch.
The PDA pride. I'm feeling it.
All right.
She's proud.
Where
but
are we going
yeah,
next?
I mean, I think. I still want to hear more for, I guess, yeah, what we got. One lady who's pro, one who's like fully against.
Fully pro, that's the first woman.
I think a lot of it, you can't bunch all of us girls into the same category that we're anti.
I'd like to do a mathematical add up at the end of the end of the show and just see how many women are for and how many are against. And I'm just going to throw it out there and say I reckon more women are against than for.
You think so?
I know you're against.
Really?
Yeah. If I tongued you down right now in front of
Ben,
front
we're
of
friends.
It, exactly.
It's never gonna cross that line.
You'd
Ben.
Be against it. You'd be so against
that
it.
That doesn't mean I'm against
and
PDA.
And I'd be like, hey, go with it. And you'd be like, no, this is really unprofessional.
I've met
like,
your wife,
Sarah. You're such.
I know your family. This isn't correct. Oh. I know your little brother.
That's what I'm talking about. Buzzkills. All of them. They're all the same.
See, there's a difference, Doc, between not wanting to kiss somebody
Buzz
and being
Killington.
Against PDA.
Buzz Killington is all I'm saying.
No, listen, hey, my name is Love. I'm all for love, you know, but I think there's
keep it behind closed doors.
No, I just think there's a point where it just becomes like obscene, isn't it? And like, yeah... I don't want to see a bride and groom. I love to see like people get married and the joy that brings everyone.
Are you saying at the wedding you don't want to see them kiss?
No. I don't want to see like full on washing machine rinse cycle.
I think at a wedding it's all right, surely.
You think so in front of your nana?
A wedding is a PDA.
I guess that's one of the only opportunities
you're signing up for that shit. Like when you get the invite and you RSVP, you're basically saying, I'm coming to a day of PDA.
No, but I think it's good. You can definitely get a bit of a snogging, but not like that griminess that Madonna did. That was too much, man.
Yeah, no, that was extreme.
Attempting to kiss me like that.
The thing is, it's the way she sort of yanks his head back and then, because he's sat
and
down.
And now he's completely in a stressed position
he
and
can't
has
do
no
anything.
Control.
He can't do anything. If you're sat down and you get your head yanked back and then you've got a head on top of your head, there's very little you can do.
Yeah.
You're flailing your arms around. You're unsighted.
It's pretty scary.
You know, Madonna is very strong. Years of
she's
yoga.
Athletic,
she's
yeah.
very sinewy.
She's
dangerous.
Open a Coke bottle in her thighs.
You know,
yeah.
she's a very, very dangerous woman. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just thought it was an extremist kiss.
Yeah, no, but I think I wouldn't
it was
say
the kiss
that
of an extremist.
I think people can take it too far. And I definitely, I'm happy to see love and to see people
so
like being united in love. But when it's like, you know, when it gets to that point,
what is your point though? What is your exact crossover? So a kiss is fine.
I don't want to see people's tongues.
So it's actually the tongue. So if you've got like a
they
kiss,
can snog.
Lips on lips is fine. Mouth closed, and then the hand slides down the back and a little squeeze of one butt cheek. Where do you stand on that? Because that's a regular thing. I see that every day.
You know what? I don't really move in those kind of circles, despite me being a DJ.
Whoa. Okay, hold on. See, now you're casting aspersions. You're acting like I walk around the streets every day.
Well, that's how it sounds.
Just hang, let's make it like I got my crew, my butt
on your bicycle,
my butt clenching crew with me. Yo,
poised, ready.
Yo, bro,
for action.
Make sure you get. Squeeze. No, I'm talking about I see it every day just walking down the street, driving
around.
No,
you know what?
People kiss.
Actually,
and
yesterday
then
the hand
fish and slides
chips,
down.
And I saw the girlfriend grabbed a boyfriend's bum in the
there
queue.
There you go.
In front
it happens both ways. I'm saying.
He didn't seem bothered.
Is that above or below
it
the tongue?
It didn't
tongues?
Bother me.
There you go. So that's
fine. Yeah, no, but there's a way of doing it where it's like.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking
not
about the proper reach around where you're like practically in between the legs. That's messed up. Take that shit home.
Okay, so there is a line for you too.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if you get like, if you're proper, like, you know, basically, if he's getting overexcited, then nobody wants to see that.
That's too much information
nobody
for all of us.
Nobody wants to see that.
PDA 0330-223-0200.
Let us know other people's.
Yeah,
where
maybe
you
you've got like some crazy experiences, like what was our lady's name? Bess? Was
Bess.
She the one with
the washing,
washing machine boyfriend washing machine? You know, let us know your experience.
Rinse cycled everywhere she went.
Yeah, let us know your experiences of PDA. Coming up very soon, we're going to have a special guest in the studio going by the name of Johnsy D. So more on that, hold tight with FUBAR. More music for you as well. And who knows, maybe we'll hear from Pete out. Again.
He's black, y'all. Snarl your fucking head.
Remember that, like, double time bubble era? Tunes. No, big up to Busta Rhymes. Like, as much criticism as people have for him, I just think he's such an OG. When you look at his timeline of his career, coming from Leaders in the New School through to like the Scenario era, through to how incredible his solo career has been, I just think what an amazing artist. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio, of course. You get the illest hip hop.
I don't think
going down the hip hop wormholes.
Yeah, I don't think there's very many artists who have been as solid as Busta Rhymes, have tried to
LL?
Push the envelope. Nah, LL, no way.
No?
Not even close. Not even close. The last tune that I felt that he did was like in 1996.
No, the last tune was Mama Said Knock You Out. Like,
you know what I mean? Busta Rhymes has been dope since like 1989.
But you know what makes me sad with Busta Rhymes? Seeing how he's like, seems a bit of a drug addict nowadays.
Is he? I didn't know anything
he's like
that.
Bashing the roids. And then he's the dude who's behind that mashup Coco song.
I didn't know that.
You know
either.
That mess of a Coco song?
No, which one's that? Like, I try and avoid shit that depresses me.
I know. See, this is the rule that I have nowadays in music. I just block it out because these things are like... but these things are like parasites. Mm. As soon as you open your ears to it, that will just implant like the worm, like the one you ate last week, into your brain, and then you can't escape this thing. The next thing you know, you're singing this nonsense. I'm pleased that you don't know this Coco rubbish. Someone actually hit us up asking about that Coco song. They want you to rap about it, I think. So we need
to. Is that
what
he was talking about?
Yeah. So I'm going to need to put you onto this Coco record.
Some of the suggestions I've got, because I did get a tweet. Who was it? Let's have a look.
Yes, keep them coming through, because every week we
and
get
use the hashtag rap about anything, because then I can search everybody and give everybody a shout out much easier on Twitter.
Yes. But we need subjects for Doc to rap about.
I've just seen one from Raheel Ahmed, who's written as a suggestion for rap about anything: existential angst and general feelings of misery and despair.
It's like, help! Hashtag help!
It was DJ Blue. DJ Blue at DJ Blue 96D.
Is that the Coco?
Your love
dude?
Of the Coco.
Yeah. Oh my
and
god.
I thought
this
he
song
was saying like cocaine. I was like,
no,
dude,
that
I'm
is
not...
what the song is about.
Oh, is that what it's about?
And it's Busta who is behind this mess of a song. And then someone played this song to my niece, and then she started singing the song to me. I was like, I'm baying for this person's blood. How dare they bring this into
that
my family's
cray.
Universe? Yeah, but this is like one of the biggest tunes in the States. I'm like, you must have heard that Lifestyle tune as well. That's like Birdman behind that song. Anyway, that's a whole
what
other.
To that boy?
Yeah, you know what? I reckon you need to rap about this week. It's Record Store Day.
Oh yeah, well, you see, that would be too passionate. It wouldn't be funny enough.
I know.
That's
we're both
problem.
Being tears like while you're rapping about.
That would be
it.
Like, of course, for Raheel Ahmed, that would be like the general feelings of misery and despair. So
yes,
we can't get into
so maybe
that.
We can overlap the two subjects, because this week it is all about celebrating vinyl. This weekend, the 18th of April, it's International Record Store Day, and last year, 2014, vinyl sales hit nearly 10 million copies of vinyl.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wonderful?
I just thought it was a dead medium, but actually it's
not
CDs.
Not at all. Yeah,
dead,
because vinyl really is forever. Big shout out to Cool Bob Love, because he coined that vinyl is forever phrase, because it's like you get such a quality of sound with vinyl that you do not get with MP3. Also, the digital medium is
it's
so
true.
Disposable. Like, just a click of a button, we're going to lose like the last 100 years of digital data. Like, none of this stuff is going to exist. No one cares about an MP3. There's no passion there. I remember as a kid, like, becoming fascinated with vinyl, looking at my parents' records, just obsessing over the record sleeves, let alone
the
quality
pictures.
Of the music behind it.
It's like a big comic book, you know?
It's so precious. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just overjoyed also as a DJ to know that people still care about vinyl, and so it's just been
beautiful
to
thing.
See over
and
the last
And do you still DJ
years.
On vinyl?
Sometimes I've got to say I'm mostly Serato. Like, if I'm going overseas and things like that, it's just
but you're
that's
careful
the,
about your WAVs and your IFs and shit like that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like, because some people are just like rag-o. Getting shit off like fullrip.net or something.
Good luck.
It's, like, it
or no, they're taking
horrific.
It off of YouTube.
Off of YouTube,
they're burning
yeah.
MP3s.
Because some chicks like play
videos.
This, play that, and they're like, oh, okay, cool. And then when she's turned around, they realize they ain't got it.
Yeah.
And they just search off of Google.
But if you're taking that approach DJing, that is making a mockery of
yeah,
DJing.
You're not really a DJ.
You know? Yeah. So sit down.
You're Danny Dyer.
I think it's just wonderful to see, like, over the last few years since Record Store Day has started, like, how much attention has been brought to it. The amount of people that I've met through record stores, like, I feel like I owe so much of my career through record stores. Like, we're going to be speaking to the man John ZD in a little while. I think I first met him in Deal Real Records, the original Deal Real on Knoll Street, where I used to work.
Pete Real's place.
And yes, so many people, I mean, I've been in other parts of the world, people have just seen me walking down the street with a record bag, so they've started talking to me, and now
that's true.
15 years later, we're still like homies, or we've worked together or whatever. So it's like music uniting the people. And this Saturday, the 18th of April, there's going to be a lot going down in London, in the Berwick Street area, all over London, but down Berwick Street, they basically close off the whole of Berwick Street and Soho. They have a few stages set up, there's sound systems, each record shop has like different things going on, so definitely go down and get involved, because it's
wonderful.
I'm gonna go down there. God, it's so fresh, seriously. It's like a mini carnival, mini Notting Hill carnival. So I definitely would recommend you getting involved. Just Google Record Store Day 2015.
Yeah, man. And as a warm-up,
you are in the world.
As a warm-up on Thursday, speaking a Deal Real, we're going to reignite the Deal Real legacy and launch a month of events at the base of the old Deal Real shop on Carnaby Street. So from 6 p.m. come down, we're going to have a few drinks, we're going to get ready, we're going to advertise a bunch of events, free events for you lovely people, fans of hip-hop and fans of vinyl, and we're going to reinvigorate the Deal Real name, and all the original names are going to come back. We've already got Tinchy Striders involved. We got flipping Michael Payne. We got people from the industry as well. We got Jamal Edwards. We got Sarah Liversedge. Oh man, it's going to be crazy. So
no,
make sure. Sarah Love might be down there, but she was from the original Deal Real, which we don't really associate with. So.
I see Johnsy's in the back making gang signs in the original squad. No, but it's all love. It's all wonderful.
It's all vinyl. It's all hip-hop.
Yeah, and I just think it's ill to see how vinyl is, like, exceeding CDs.
That's incredible.
CDs are just whack. Like, every CD ends up getting broken.
CDs
scratch so easily, they deteriorate.
You don't care enough about them.
No,
basically, do you know what I'm saying? So when you've got one, you don't really give a crap.
And the other reason vinyl really is forever is because it doesn't, you know, it lasts. Mm. Like, the actual format of CDs, they degrade, like they rot.
That's why I pulled the CD changer out of my Audi and put in like a turntable. So you just slot a 12-inch into the front of my dashboard and it plays. It's fucked up when you go over speed bumps and shit. But on the whole, it's
but then you just have to do a scenic route to make sure you're dodging any potholes and speed bumps. So, as an ode to the record stores and music that connected me with so many people, I'm going to hit you with an EPMD joint. And straight after this, we're going to be talking to the main man, John ZD from Breaking Convention, who, this takes me back. I make $1 million. Okay, we're just like already getting into it. Johnsy's walked into the studio and
shit
it's
got
like,
real.
Yeah.
Immediately.
My goodness.
Immediately.
For real.
Divisive arguments already, guys. Come
on.
Can't we just all get along?
We were talking about butt squeezing in public before Johnsy DK.
Yeah. Now we're like,
shit got real.
Bring it.
Yeah.
But Johnsy D, welcome to the show. What a pleasure
to have you here. I'm really happy to be here. I must say, I didn't realize I was coming to here. I thought I was going to go to HFM, to be honest with you.
Oh, did you?
No.
Shh, don't mention it. It's like, don't mention the war. It's like, don't mention the rivals.
Big up Itch.
I love
it. But this is FUBAR Radio, and this is some next level shit.
Hit a roll now. Mm. No, it's not.
Like, this is a world of free speech. Mm-hmm. Of a lot of shit talking,
yes.
A little bit of rap, and also a lot of intelligence as well. We mix it up a lot here, and I think, like, Itch is a happy rival to have because we do very different things.
Oh, completely different. And there's no rivalry. It's pure camaraderie, in my opinion. And I feel like, you know, here, FUBAR, we bring a little bit of a different flavour to FUBAR. And so for us, it's nice for, you know, us to represent what's going on within our hip-hop community. And I feel Jonzy, you know, not only over the years have you done so much, and we were speaking there about Record Store Day, and I think that was definitely where I first met you, was in the Deal Real Knoll Street. But yeah, over the years, you've been cultivating the breaking convention, which I've been involved in over the years too as well, and that's coming up as well. So I was like, who better for us to get into the show? Break down for the people, like, if they're not familiar with Jonzy D or breaking convention, what the hell is breaking convention?
Okay, so breaking convention is the International Festival of Hip-Hop Dance Theater. That is a very wide statement because we're dealing with the world of hip-hop, but done within the proscenium arch. Do you know what I mean? Because as you know, we understand hip-hop is done in cyphers, in clubs, and maybe on MTV, for example. But this is a way in which we can get into the dimensions of theatre through hip-hop. So that's really, really exciting. As you said, we've been going for 12 years. We're based at Sadler's Wells Theatre. And actually, I'd like to think of it more. It's increasingly becoming a celebration of hip-hop culture.
Which is a beautiful thing. Because, I mean, this is a controversial statement and you can agree or disagree, but I feel like you're a pioneer of taking an art form to a place where perhaps beforehand people from that culture, from that background, didn't really feel welcome. The world of theatre has always been seen, in my opinion, as something of an exclusive experience.
Yes.
Establishment.
Yeah, certain people can afford it. So you get situations where even if it's like a Porgy and Bess or an Othello or like a, you know, something that's kind of a black staple in terms of the story and the performance, you look around yourself in the audience and you're still the only black person there, you know. So like I've always felt that theatre was like the last sort of area of media that really needed a shake up.
Well, I think that the theatre in a way is the last theatre, I think, is a presentation of colonial ideas.
Yeah, okay, break that down.
Hear this now. Hear this, what I'm saying now. I think that theatre has been separated from the rest of culture, yeah? And that's the reason why they use terms like high arts, because actually it's about establishing the strata system that we actually live in. Do you know what I mean? There are certain people that do this, and there are certain people that do that.
And we were just talking about in this country how we have such more of a class divide rather than in the States, how we have a racial divide. So, yeah, in many ways that reflects that also, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. So, therefore, you'll get people talking about classical art, classical ballet, classical opera, for example. But when you focus on contemporary dance, which is that echelon's way of doing, okay, we're going to do something different and call it contemporary dance. That's not contemporary. Them techniques developed in the 1930s with people like Martha Graham and Merce Cunningham. Contemporary dance is what we're doing today. Because the contemporary dance field hasn't really progressed where dance technique is concerned. But hip-hop has pushed technique. Every week there's a new hip-hop move coming out that's a very highly next-level form of discipline. You've seen B-boys now. They're ridiculous,
I spoke to Ashley Banjo about this, and Ashley was saying that the street is the new classical. He was saying, like, the street is creating stuff that is on a level with the highest forms of ballet, and it's just not... It's not really respected as such. And I was saying to him, dude, like, I don't know if you know it, but you're helping bring it to the forefront, you know?
Right.
How do you feel about, you know, like, diversity and Flawless and these groups that have really brought that world to the mainstream?
What's interesting about these groups is that they were found in a context in which the nation can vote for who they like.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So both of these are products of that whole reality TV scenario.
Sorry, diversity and who? Sorry?
Flawless.
Flawless. Okay. Flawless came second to diversity.
I see.
But they both sell out huge arenas worldwide now.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, ballet doesn't do that. You know what I mean? So let's just look
well,
at
they're grasping for the to fill the seats, really.
Grasping, and there's a whole bunch of subsidy that's completely out of balance with the subsidy for so-called community arts. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Community. See, things like that are so patronising terms, really, isn't it? That yeah. keeps people in their place.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to me that once given the opportunity to reach the mainstream, everybody was into it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? This art form that had always been pushed down there with graffiti and like skateboarding yes. and these so-called antisocial pastimes mm. gave the nation a chance to just go, what do you think of this? And they were like, it's amazing. Yes. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yes,
and they voted with
true.
Their feet.
But you know what's yeah. deep about it? If you look at history, history will tell you this was always going to happen. Because if you look at the staple of theatre, particularly the theatre where bums on seats is concerned, where people paying their money, it's jazz dance forms, it's blues music, it's the Buddy Holly story. Mm-hmm. Look at these music forms. That was called nigger music back in the day, mm. right? Am I right or am I wrong? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was what these... So we're in the same situation, do you know what I mean? It's only a matter of a time that we'll probably get some amazing white guy who's going to make the most amazing hip-hop theatre show. Mm. Then it will be art.
Well, I mean, that's a massively controversial statement, and I guess I agree
it's
and
real.
Disagree with you on a couple of levels.
Go on.
I mean, diversity is an interesting one in the basis that it's called diversity because of the huge racial mix between the group itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you got white kids, mixed race kids, and black kids mm-hmm. all in the same group, and they've never really. And this may be partly because of the mainstream way they came to. The public's attention. Mm-hmm. They've never really been called a black or a white outfit, even mm-hmm. though we all know that what they do has its roots in black culture.
Mm-hmm.
There's an issue, obviously, we see in hip-hop all the time. We've seen it probably most recently with Macklemore
mm-hmm.
and Iggy Azalea, where people are suddenly getting awards and mass sort of acceptance on the basis of
promotion.
Possibly, you could say, gentrifying hip hop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that is a real issue
but
right
do
now.
You,
is the
do you feel? Do you genuinely feel? Because I read.
But I
about
don't think
you,
it's a racial thing for me.
I know you from back in the day,
mm-hmm.
and yet I probably for the past 10 years I've read more about you in the Guardian, in the Independent. In the Times than I have actually spoken to you, and
Doc,
they love the shit
that,
out of you.
Dude.
I know that's a side
I'm
issue.
I'm disgusted that that's a side we have issue. Not hung out because you've been reading about me in broadsheets as well.
That,
it's not
that
even
side,
like
that's a side issue.
Probably
that's yeah. a side issue. Totally. And the other side issue is yes, I am something of a wild individual, but I do read the broadsheets. Okay, just deal with it. But I guess the point I'm making is that these very white, very middle class worlds. They love you. Like, they love what you're... I've never read a bad review about a John ZD show
mm-hmm.
or a concept. And at what point do you think... Or, as an additional question, what do you think you need to do to get the kind of acceptance and understanding that you feel brings your art form to a level with, say, classical ballet, for example?
Okay, I think I was lucky to have trained at London Contemporary Dance School. So... what I saw there was the structure and how people justify their art. So for me, I just learned how to justify what I was doing.
I mean, that's what I was going to say, is that you know how to speak their language,
yeah,
but
yeah.
you've been able to do it without selling out.
Yes.
And I think that is like where that's the right way to do it, because there's a lot of people who they play that industry game where, yeah, you're ultimately selling out not only yourself, but all of us at the yeah. same time, you know, yeah. for a dollar.
I think for me, it's because what we do is beautiful. What we do. It is, no?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
He's just being cheeky.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like cheeky.
Yeah.
Next time I'll be quicker to get
often.
It.
Yeah.
Ah, that was an official invitation. Jonesy D yes. is now part of this show.
Yes.
Because I live just down the road.
I know.
And it ain't nothing to come I'll from tell you here. What,
and Jonesy's a cyclist too.
Oh, for yes. real?
This
okay,
is Cyclists
cool.
United
nice.
Cyclist here.
Nice.
Yes,
okay.
Cyclist.
Good.
Sorry, but we digress,
okay, yeah,
as
yeah,
often
yeah.
we do on this show.
We do. I'm glad I'm here for the hour. Yeah. So, yeah, so I think that ultimately the diversity thing is key. Because what we've done is we've shown that this culture of hip-hop is not about race.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah?
Exactly.
No one feels marginalized when they're in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
No one feels like, oh,
I'm not supposed to be here.
I'm not, you know what I mean? You know, and there's so many other forms where that feels like that.
Mm. And that's one of the things that I love about hip-hop at its essence is whether you're fresh or not.
Yeah.
And that's all it ultimately boils down to. It doesn't matter what you look like, yeah. what your gender mm. is, but, whatever. Are you fresh or not?
The
can
one
you
caveat
bring it?
I would bring to that is that if you take lyrics out and put in different forms of art to the hip-hop culture, say graffiti or dance, it's a little bit easier, I think, to widen it out to other cultures. I get emails all the time to my website from white kids who are saying, I don't feel like I'm welcome in the cypher, or I don't feel like I'm welcome at this rap club or that rap club. And I'm
really?
sure it's to do with the posturing around lyricism, you know?
See, I think
which is that you don't have that when it comes to dance.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying?
But you see, with something like that, I feel that maybe that's more of a personal issue rather than necessarily
question.
Something that's being
projected from other people onto
you.
I think it's a mixture of their insecurity.
From my experience, anyway.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of their own insecurity. And I've replied to as many of these emails as I can. I think it's a mixture of their own insecurity. But I do think there's also an exclusivity thing that we have sometimes within rap. And I'm talking about rap rather than hip-hop here. Mm-hmm. Where
thank
it's like,
you.
This is us. Do you know what I mean? Don't get involved.
Okay, I see what you mean. Are you talking racially as well?
Yeah, racially, and well, there's a class element there too.
Okay, I think that there's a lot of struggle with that, because I don't remember it being so explicit when Third Bass came out.
Yeah, for real.
Third Bass were immediately embraced, yeah?
And Beasties.
And Beastie Boys. So, I mean, immediately, and they were part of the beginnings of this rap thing, this rap industry thing. So I think that...
And same when you talk about gender as well. Like nowadays, people feel like, oh, it's so misogynistic. It's like it was never, women were equally included in hip hop from
Antoinette,
the outset.
Antoinette, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Queen Latifah.
JJ Fad, or whoever.
Fad,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that as the development of hip hop as a word that means something, particularly in America, it's synonymous with working class black males.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And then this whole appropriation game that's happening now, what, you're telling me that black people can't get Grammys in hip hop now?
Mm.
Well, I mean, they stopped broadcasting the hip hop category of the Grammys, didn't they?
What?
After that, yeah, because it was, remember when Wu-Tang did the Wu-Tang's for the kids?
Okay.
And then since then, they cut the rap category from the TV broadcast. Mm. But no, I mean, we digress again.
Okay,
I want to get back to you because another thing that I was really, I was proud of you, Jonesy.
Aww.
A couple of years ago when I brought my niece to a production you were doing where you did a one-man performance about you being nominated for an MBE.
That's right.
Which you turned down. Dun, dun, dun!
It was more of a dun, 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 thinking about how am I going to explain this to people.
Really?
That was the most difficult thing. When I got the letter, I remember my head just fell into my hand. Reason being was because I knew already that I wasn't going to accept it. That was a given. That was not hard to do. What was hard was telling my big sister.
Mm.
Because she loves the Queen. She does. She's into that, you know. And I know that would have made her proud.
So,
and I questioned what...
But at the same time, she knows that you're not as big a fan of the monarchy as she is.
So what were the grounds? Was it purely monarchical? Or was it, did it relate to colonialism? I'm fascinated to know because my sister turned one down as well.
Okay.
But people have different reasons.
Yeah. My reason was specifically the name, member of the British Empire.
Yeah, actually, empire I have a problem with.
You know, and that empire basically was the death of you know, thousands of people, the rape of millions pillaging. Of women, pillaging, you know, and I'm not...
The birth of slavery.
The birth of slavery.
Mental colonization.
I mean, all of that, you know, and I think it would be awkward for me.
But also tea. just to put in a little plus.
Yeah.
That come from India, bruv.
I know, but we mastered that shit.
Yeah, we robbed it from them.
But we mastered it.
And sold it out here.
Jacked it. And Chinese have mastered tea for morning. Don't you know that?
Yeah, but we put milk in it, bruv, and sugar. I mastered it. Yeah? I'm just reffing it for the white half of my family. Yeah?
Okay. Yeah. So basically, for me... interested that you say the white side of your family. I'd be interested in your white history and your relationship to the ruling powers. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm big on the family tree thing, and I've traced both sides of my family as far as I can. I think with new technology, it will become easier in the future to go even further back. But what I've found quite sadly, unfortunately, is victims of slavery on both sides, from the Irish and the black, and a mass of generations of working class white people who've been pretty much browbeaten. I don't really know how to feel about that, other than I know there's a deeper reason that me and my sister have always had such a big, strong voice when it comes to the voiceless kind of thing, you know?
Yes, yes.
But it fascinates me, man. But it's, like, when you start mixing races as well, you know, you look at mixed race families, there's all sorts of controversies down the line. Yeah. It always amazes me that the union of my parents, long since split, but the union of the original union of them broke the two families up completely, based on mainly on a racial tip, but also because there was 30 years between them, which was also an issue. But
wow. Okay.
But it's fascinating looking into the two family trees, how much they actually had in common.
I mean, when my parents married, it was, my mother's black South African, so when they married, it was illegal to be married. So it was it, and my mum was in showbiz at that time, so it was in the newspapers, like, this woman has married this white man. Mm. This is outrageous. You know, we weren't allowed to visit South Africa until the end of apartheid, like much in the 90s.
I didn't realize you were the weird way around like me. That's good to know.
I know.
The black mum.
No, because, and that's another thing. I swear, it is different.
When your mother is black or your father is black, it is different.
Because
well, ask a Jewish guy. A Jewish guy would tell you that, yeah, my dad weren't Jewish, but I'm Jewish because my mum was Jewish. You know, there's something to do with
the maternal side, the maternal
dad
nurture.
Can be around, or he can be distant emotionally, or he can even be physically distant, and the family can still very much function.
Right.
For a mum to be any of those things, a family will break down. I just come back from Colombia, and I bought these bags from a tribe called the Wayuu tribe up in the hills of Cali in Colombia. And these bags are weaved over weeks. I mean, they take ages. They're absolutely beautiful. Mm. But the strap is weaved by the men, and the actual sack is weaved by the women. Mm. And that's because the men can shoulder a physical burden briefly, but it's the woman that carries everything, you know? And that's an ancient tradition for the Wayuus that goes back thousands of years. And what that told me was, well, that really ties into the way I see family now, because I mean, I grew up with loads of kids from loads of different ethnic backgrounds, but I had my tight little crew of mixed race kids, and I was the only one who had a black mum. All the rest grew up in essentially kind of white families. The dad just wasn't around. And so it took them a long time. I can think of one or two, in fact a good friend of mine who's probably one of the kings of the British rap game right now, who grew up in a very much a white Irish situation as a kid, but he was just this brown face in the house, you know,
and it totally didn't poison him at all, did it?
Not at all. Like he's one of the blackest dudes.
Sorry,
I know.
It's gone over my head who we're referring to. Anyway. You can tell
we digress. We've had another digression.
I just think it's fascinating.
But also with like the whole member of the British Empire and everything, like really, when you know, boil these things down, like, that's meaningless. Like, for me, anyway, like, that's just some concept that has been cooked up by a bunch of rich people who had slaves and built London on the back of all these people's illegal labor sort of thing. So it's like, why do we want to necessarily perpetuate that fraud by giving it status, by lending my name to it? In the same way how I was talking about, if you're going to be an artist and say, yeah, drink Coca-Cola kind of thing, like, you know, why are you going to be a coat hanger to keep that corporation going, when really in the long run you're nothing to them. Like, it's meaningless. All you do is stand to keep that empire strong, you know, and they need to be co-signed by people like John Z. Doe, who are down with the crew kind of thing, to be relevant.
And what I found interesting was that it was the same year of the youth uprising. Yeah, I call it the youth uprising. We know
the same year
about.
That you got.
Okay.
It was at the end of that
nominated thing. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the so-called riots, and that's in heavy inverted commas.
Yeah, and so I worry that the timing of these type of awards. You know what I mean? What's it meant to be doing?
Shady.
Do you know what I mean?
There's politics that play behind it as well. So, but I think it's a big move, because a lot of people would be like, "Oh, but that's going to open so many doors. If I have that, I can use that." And this is, and so people will, a lot of people will crumble and sell out and just go with it, even if that's against
so
what
would,
they
would
have
you,
preached
would you,
a lot
would you
of the
describe
time.
Norman Jay as a sellout?
Dun, 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 dun.
Da, da, da. I mean, no, I'm just saying, for me, I don't see, I'm not going to give my name to co-sign things that have been done. I have a lot of admiration for Britain.
But have
you
lost respect for Norman Jay? Because he puts that on his flyers.
No, but the way I see it is, he was a don regardless, and that has not elevated him anymore. Therefore, why does he need it? He became a don on his own sweat and tears and blood, like we all have done. No one came and gave me a handout. You know what I'm saying? We did that ourselves. We broke down these doors and built this community called hip hop in this country that we now have to be proud of, which has now gone into all these different fields. You're performing at Royal Albert Hall. You know, you're doing all of your work. We did that. No one made that for us. Yeah, we just made that out of nothing.
That's
you
right.
know, and same with Norman Jay and is Jazzy B?
Jazzy B.
Yeah,
OBE.
Jazzy B. And I'm not knocking any. I don't want anyone to get it twisted and think that I'm knocking any of those dudes.
Well,
you know?
Just to add to that, when I first produced the show, The Letter, I wanted a panel discussion, and I actually had Benjamin Zephaniah.
I love him.
He's like a no BE.
I love him.
And also, we got Omar, who had just recently got an MBE, and Lem Sisse, who recently accepted his MBE. And what I wanted to do was have a discussion.
So Benjamin turned it down, right?
Benjamin turned it
I
down.
Love him.
Me and Benjamin turned it down, and the other two didn't. And I wanted to have a chat, because I don't disrespect anybody that chooses to take it. They've got their reasons. Respect my reasons, though. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not telling
it works
you
both ways.
I'm not forcing nothing on no one. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, there's a load of people out there that need to be represented, and there's the load of people who would not take that and would find that an offensive thing to be offered that. And I'm part of that crew.
Yeah, Benjamin's actually got an ill poem about it. I think I haven't read it for a long time, but yeah, he is just a G, the way like he just put in a nutshell. I think Helen Mirren as well
negatively.
Rejected it.
It hasn't, interestingly,
I think it gives him
it
more
hasn't
props.
Affected his career negatively. He's
because that takes a big
very
person.
Much celebrated by the institutions of the UK,
exactly.
You know, and the mainstream.
And that's because of it. And, you know, my dad's always saying to me, it doesn't matter how much money someone has. The only thing that makes you fluent in Japanese is you applying yourself to do that. The only thing that makes you an amazing artist or a great swimmer is you. Yeah. That doesn't take any amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that we need to instill in people. It's not about handouts where you come from this crew and therefore you're in a good position.
Yeah,
it's about if you apply yourself, like Marty McFly, if
you
put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
I mean, I very much enjoy playing the game as long as I retain control. I think I probably would turn down an MBE, but I don't put it in the same bracket as advertising and whatnot. Like, if someone wants to pay me 50 grand to do a voiceover for an ad, I'm doing that shit. I've got kids to feed. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that I represent Coca-Cola or whatnot.
Listen,
I just see it as a job. So I don't put the two things together.
If the MBE came with money, I would have thought about it.
You'd have given it a second look.
But honestly, the fact that they didn't even give you money made me think they got the finger straight up, man. There's no way.
It's kind of they kind of want big
they need the cosign
on their, yeah on
it's
their
the
side
cosign. And I do that's get what that. Makes all brands I think my, relevant
personally
and successful.
my MBE is like the acknowledgement of my peers. Like I love it when fans give me props and that, and it like it's amazing, it keeps me going. And obviously I see the fans kind of like almost like my boss, like my employer, because I can't sell out a venue without them and I can't get paid without them.
Mm-hmm.
But what is amazing to me is when somebody that I properly rate says, I listened to this or I watched this and it blew my mind. You know, that's boom. That's like my MBE, like, because that's like, oh, okay, boom. Like I'm in the upper echelons now.
Boom.
You know?
I agree like, with I love you 100%. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I feel as though in my career, what I've been doing, and the friends of mine that have got on board and supported, yeah? Man like Rodney P.
Mm, we had him on the show last week.
Yeah. Man
great
like,
guest.
Man like. Woman like Sarah Love. I said man like
Listen,
so-and-so.
Listen, I constantly get called bruv. Bruv.
Okay, so now like play the next track. For now, you're one of the lads. but no, on the real, like all of the people that I've worked with, collaborated with, done stuff for a fraction of the fee that they normally get, you know, that's what makes me happy. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that we're continually making this stuff happen. I was going to say making this shit happen, and I realised I can.
Yeah.
You can say that shit.
So, yeah, man. But I just want to say about Breaking Convention.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, of I course. To bring
Jesus.
Back.
What the hell has happened?
There is an event.
Oh, God.
Doing next
We're
month.
A dangerous combination, last three.
It's
Thank
Sadler's
God Pete
Wells.
And Pimlico's not here.
We've been going for 12 years. I'm wearing my 10th year anniversary.
Yes!
It's 2 years
He's been
old,
wearing it for 10 years.
I've been wearing it for 10
yeah,
years.
Yeah. Needs a wash, John. Needs a wash.
But it's all good. We use a great,
No,
great
Breaking
detergent.
Convention is so wonderful because the audience who are... there's a bunch of people who you see at Breaking Convention who are nothing to do with hip-hop. They have no knowledge of breaking, of anything to do with black culture or anything, and you know, you're exposing this to so many other people, and then they come back.
Yes, and that is my biggest problem. Where's the hip hop heads at, man?
Yeah,
at Breaking Convention.
Yeah, man. When we first did it, 2004, it was
a hip hop
richest
hip hop splintered though, Jones. Man, hip hop is splintered, and I've seen it happen within my lifetime. You know, my introduction to hip hop culture was undoubtedly with any shadow of a doubt whatsoever was breakdancing.
Right.
And that's because my mum used to take me to Covent Garden on Saturdays, and we just sort of like have a little loiter around the markets, and I used to love the street performances, the magicians and the comedians, but there'd always be breakers.
Yeah.
And I'd never seen anything like it. And I'm talking about, like, I was like 5 years old. So this is like 1983.
Woo!
Do you know what I mean?
And you know, Foundation era. Crew's 21st anniversary coming up as well. You've got to come down for that. I'm going to be DJing at that.
Just like the energy of it was crazy. And then when I got a little bit older and I started seeing like the year six kids in primary school, like putting down like a bit of cardboard or bringing in like a roll of lino and then doing it behind the bike sheds and whatnot. It was just like, whatever this is, I need to know more.
Yeah.
And then I started seeing the connections between the guys, the older boys that I knew and girls that were graphing, and then the skaters who were listening to rap, playing me rap for the first time and all of that stuff. It was very much connected.
Yeah.
But with the way we share information now, it's so splintered that, you know, there's subcultures of subcultures of subcultures. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's the reason why the theatre is the perfect place to bring it all back.
Okay.
Yeah? It's the perfect place, and mainly because theatre in itself is made up of these distinct parts, and it all comes together. I mean, on Facebook, I go by the name of John Z.D. Aguilev, yeah? Sergei D. Aguilev, he was a Russian impresario who developed the Ballet Russe, and he brought together composers, dancers, artists and stuff, and brought it all together to make the Ballet Russe and this stuff. And I think that that's what's happening, yeah? Hip-hop started as this thing, yeah? And it splintered out, and the technical level of each aspect had to splinter away for it to really develop and find
that
itself.
Evolution.
But now is the time. It's all on that level. We bring it back now. Wow.
But then this is also, I feel, with the, because you, in the last couple of years, you started doing the Breaking Convention Park Jam as well, which is a lovely affair too. And in a sense, I feel that's, again, another great meeting point. Like, you feel maybe some of the hip-hop heads aren't necessarily coming to the actual Sadler's Wells event. But then there's no excuse with the Park Jam. It's free.
That's right. It's freeness.
Also, and there's Break that, It, you know.
It's a great opportunity to converge right now, because rap went very street. It went very street, and then breakers became very corny in rap people's eyes. You know, there's no doubt about it.
It's true.
Even DJs, to some extent. Rappers started thinking,
when you say
you don't
went
really
street,
need
like when? What do you mean?
I mean, like, rap began as a party, right? It began as a form of escapism for white people, for black people, for Latinos. And that sort of branched out into the club scene in Manhattan, and then obviously around the world.
Before that, it went through the social conscious movement as well.
Yeah,
so it starts with a party, and then let's be real. A lot of white people felt alienated in the mid to late 80s because of the huge amount of black nationalism.
All the best rappers were 5% or you know, Nation of Islam. So that was quite exclusive. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were dealing with white groupies as well. But that's another case.
But what I'm saying is, into the
mid 90s, when I was a teenager and really getting into it, I think there was a big break in sort of respect between the different areas, the different what I would call elements
in the 90s,
of hip-hop culture.
Okay,
yeah, because rap became the thing, like the standout thing. And what you rapped about, where you came from, those things became absolutely crucial. And those things in breaking, it's irrelevant, man.
Yeah.
Like, can you break or not? Like, because of shit.
Well, breakers have
But I think now that rap's become more of a party thing, I think it's a good time for the elements to reconverge.
Yeah. And I think
DJs have become more important now as well.
Oh, DJs.
Like, I remember a time when rappers were performing over DATs.
DJs
we
are
just had so just like, what do you need a DJ for?
Disgusting.
That's an extra prick to pay.
Listen,
no, we'll just bring a DAT machine.
And when you work
Remember
with man
days?
Like
that
Pogo,
shit happened.
When you work with man like DJ Pogo, I've got a foundation of excellent DJing, you know what I mean? And I refuse to go down
World
that other
class.
Route, you know what I mean?
Oh, but it's a waste of time. And that's that you're just disrespecting the whole ethics of what we're doing, the reason why we're doing this in the
that's
first place.
Right there.
But I think, you know, DJs, we're quite lucky because you can play every field in a way that is tougher for
MCs. You don't get irrelevant. As long as you're a good DJ, you don't get irrelevant.
Like, when you go and see someone like DJ Cash Money rocking a party in Russia or in Brazil or in London.
But don't nobody want to hear Marvelous's new shit? Do you know what I'm saying? Cash Money's still relevant. We're still relevant, you know? Yeah. Marvelous. I don't know.
Well,
Jazzy Jeff's still relevant.
We were talking about Busta Rhymes and saying how when you look at like the timeline of his career,
just
how
more
he's
ability.
Managed
more
to,
ability.
You know, but
Marvelous
he's,
was, if I'm honest,
he's known
he
how to play the.
So.
He had his 15 minutes. But, you know, it's still props to him. But, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I think DJ is king. But, we're always going to have a position, you know?
For me,
there's nothing
me.
And
in my
versatility.
In my position where I'm coming from, I used to go around my DJ, Davey Diamond, he goes by the name of now, back in the day, Davey D. And we used to just sit in his bedroom all day while he's cutting and scratching and practicing and practicing. And every now and again, we get on a mic and join in and stuff like that. And he was the center of this thing, do you know what I mean? And I believe it's still the same.
Yes, the cultivating the community, you know, the unity. But what
that.
About tickets then? If people want
to
know more about Breaking Convention, what's the coup?
If you want to go to Breaking Convention, you best go to breakingconvention.com or sadlerswells.com and book now, because the tickets are nearly sold out.
Oh, for real.
I'm just going
to
be real.
Is it the same, like, booking fee wise at both, or is it best to go to the website?
you're publicizing the loopholes.
I'm just thinking about getting the hood out, man.
I am currently going onto the website right now.
Oh, and what is it, the 4th of May, the Park Jam?
It's the 4th of May, bank holiday Monday.
And what park is it?
It's Sparfields Park, which
is. Have you been down to any of them
yet?
That's so cool.
I'm definitely going.
Just off Exmouth Street Market.
It's a great day to take the whole family out to.
Yeah, I will.
You know, because you've got the full on stage.
It's definitely bring your utes. We've got Daisy's and West Indian. They're going to be there giving enough food and stuff like that.
Oh, man, I'm there. I'm
normally,
there.
I rock down with like four generations of my family of thing. So, but it is really lovely. And then what? You've got guest performers this year? Oh, it's J-Roo.
J-Roo was last year.
Yeah, sorry.
This year, we are going to do the first generation jam. The reason being is because we've got formerly known as the Nigger Twins.
Okay.
We have got the Legendary Twins. Now, these twins friends were at Kool Herc's original parties. They're widely known as the first rockers to go down to the floor. Mm. We're talking some of the beginning B-boys.
They weren't in like World Style or something.
Nah, mate. They predate Rocksteady.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Double Trouble.
They predate Rocksteady, and this is the first time they've been out. If you've seen the film Freshest Kids, most of them refer to these guys. Anyway, they're coming to Europe for the first time via Breaking Convention.
Aww. That's crazy.
They're going to be in the house just chilling. You know what I mean? At the Park Jam. So as a result
that's
of that,
why they changed their name, innit? Because immigration. Yeah, this isn't going to run.
Actually, I did speak to them about it. And basically, they just said, look, we're grown men. Yeah, do you think we really want a bunch of kids coming up to go, hey, you guys are nigger twins? Do you know what I mean? So they're going to come through and we're going to have first generation London in the house. Danny Francis, the popper who used to pop with the London All-Stars in Covent Garden, he's going to be hosting a naughty 40s cypher. And all of them 40-year-old generation dancers, they're all coming back to get busy. You know what I mean? Some of them are still breaking.
There's about 10 physiotherapists in the crowd ready to go. St. John's Ambulance on call.
And a lot of them are training, so you better just warm up. And we're going to have a first generation rap jam featuring Family Quest. Yeah. Family Quest influenced Rodney P and Cookie Crew. Do you know what I mean? So we're really taking
lineage.
It back. We're going,
this is also why I have so much respect for all these events that you put together, because it's schooling people at the same time. And, you know, if we aren't going to do that, who is going to do it?
That's right.
You know, and it's so important that history is told correctly so then it doesn't get stolen
from us.
And this
all kicks off on the 4th of May.
It actually kicks off
Exmouth Market.
That's the Park Jam.
The Park Jam kicks off then, but actually Breaking Convention kicks off on Friday night. And I really want to share
this
with
Friday
the 1st of May.
Oh, okay.
And this is something that Breaking Convention
Bank Holiday Weekend
has never done before. And it is something called Works. Breaking Convention International Festival of Hip Hop Dance Theatre opens with this exclusive evening. Titillating tales of desire and temptation through dance, circus, and poetry, hosted by Floetic Lara and featuring live jazz from Soweto Kinch and Quake Bass. And we have got a bunch of performers who don't normally do this type of stuff, but they are going to be leaning their dance towards an erotic place. Yeah, I don't want to use the word burlesque because that conjures up images of things in the past. We are dealing with sexuality today.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know, and I'm really, and I'll be honest, Sarah, your name was mentioned a few times in the room, as in we need a DJ.
Oh.
And
that's so so disappointing.
But I just felt really awkward asking you know, Sarah, I might need you to wear something else.
My burlesque outfit.
No. I'm going tassels.
If you're in tassels, John Z, then we can work the angle.
I have nothing to do with this event. I did not
just
program it.
Spectator.
It was not my idea, and I'm going to turn up wearing my fur coat. That's about probably it.
Oh, so, just the fur coat. Okay, fur that's coat. A nice touch. Yeah, that's a nice touch.
So yeah, it's a bit scary because it's a family event, Breaking Convention, and all of a sudden we're doing an over 21s thing. So I was a bit nervous about that. I'd like to get your vibe and what do you guys think of this risky event.
But what, so is that at Sadler's Wells on the Friday?
At Sadler's Wells on the Friday night, we're doing an over 21s event.
1st of May.
Yes.
All right.
And then on the Saturday and the Sunday, back to the normal big family event. Yay!
Please don't wear your nipple tassels to Exmouth Market on the 4th of May. You will be arrested.
Change your clothes. You must.
Yeah, the stroke of midnight.
So, Doc, come on, tell me. Do you think this is a feasible thing within hip-hop and, you know, consciousness? And what are we doing?
100%. I mean, like, I've been basically an ambassador for hip-hop outside of the hip-hop world for the past 6 years since I moved into stand-up. Do you know what I mean? So I'm on stages around the world trying to explain to people where I come from and what I'm about.
I'm
and
that's been
it's been a really interesting kind of culture clash. But the other thing I would say is it's opened my mind up to like all sorts of things that when I was just rapping I was very kind of had my blinkers on about. And that I would say sex and sexuality is a big part of that as well. You know, and so I think, yeah, obviously there's room for it. It's like the things that we pretend that we're not into because we're trying to be too flipping cool. Do you know what I'm saying? So just get down there, let yourself go, get your tassels on, shake them.
I think, like, ultimately, none of us would be here if it wasn't for sex. So well, it's like, true. You know, we just need to get real about, like, you know, how this plays into our existence as human beings, you know. And obviously it's like probably the most powerful thing known to man, which is why a lot of religions want to hold it down, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. So I think and then because it's such a taboo subject, this is where so many people get into trouble when it comes with sexual issues or like, you know, all kinds of things. So I think we need a much more open dialogue and not be afraid, like, come on, what have you got to lose? And there's a difference between being open-minded and it being open for discussion and being crude or being like, you know, or being like the washing machine boyfriend.
I have blurred those lines many a shot.
Yes, as earlier you were going down that rabbit hole. But yeah,
but surely it's subjective though. I'm wondering whether there'll be someone in the audience that's like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Well, they obviously came out to the right night.
Maybe.
The wrong night. I mean, they probably need to turn up.
What you don't want, with your art form, whatever it is, and I believe this should be Bible, this should be gospel for every artist in the world. What you don't want is indifference. You don't want that from an audience.
Totally.
I don't mind someone who's Marmite. I don't mind someone who everybody hates.
Yeah.
And I don't mind someone who everybody loves religiously. But what I can't take is that's a...
Who's that?
I don't even remember what his name was, really.
No major
just
comments.
Just passed by.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be that, you know? So I wouldn't even sweat it.
But I think there are probably some people who'll be listening thinking, are you taking the piss?
Well, it's very possible.
You know, we have a weekly feature on the show... Mm-hmm. Taking the Piss Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So every week we highlight issue. You know, it's a chance for the listeners of FUBAR Radio to vent about something that has happened to them in this last week that made them just say, are you taking the piss?
Excellent. I'll tell you what I thought was taking the piss last week, and it ties in quite nicely with the breaking convention. Obviously, my experience of getting into hip-hop via breaking in Covent Garden means that with my kids, I've always taken them down there.
Mm-hmm.
And last weekend, I was doing a book reading in the square where all the street performers are in Covent Garden. And my kids came down, and afterwards, there were some breakers, and they were doing their thing. And my kids were like, oh, give me some money to give them after the show, give me some money. So I gave them a few quid to take and put in the hat and whatnot. The crowd that these guys amassed was huge.
Mm.
The second they finished, every one of them fucked
bounced.
Off, except my kids.
Yeah, and you're just like,
are you taking the piss?
Do you know what I mean? Because these guys are they're entertaining you. You can pay what you like. You've been entertained for an hour, like.
But this is why I never stand and watch the buskers, because if I'm not prepared
to give money, I totally respect that.
I will only watch someone
totally
if I'm going to give the money.
You don't
that
watch,
is taking the
fair
piss.
Fair play, but if you're going to sit there and what, people got snacks and shit?
Gutted.
Front row.
They're chilling.
Second the show's finished, bounce.
They're loving it. They're taking pictures. They're videoing.
No, I'm not down with that.
And then they're out. They're like, oh shit, now's our cue to bounce. Run!
I've got to share one.
Yeah, so we always ask our guests, what this week made you say, like,
are you taking the piss?
You taking the piss?
Okay, so I'm doing a panel discussion.
Okay.
As part of a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular panel discussion was about African dance and the diaspora.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
okay, yeah.
Really, really good conference. It's going down well. And one of the organisers walked in because it was running over time. But I must hasten to add that we did start late.
Mm.
So we were actually on time. It's just that the schedule was going out. Anyway, this woman, one of the organisers, walked in and said, hey, we're not doing African time in here, so can you finish up, please?
Oh!
Are you taking a piss?
Tell me, please
Russia!
Tell me.
Oh, no.
Please tell
no.
me she was of an African persuasion.
That was the first thing I was going to ask.
Please.
She was not.
Wow.
Wow. Are you taking the piss?
Are you taking the piss?
So
no, but she must like spend a lot of like maybe she felt entitled to be bulshy like that.
Oh, well, we know about that entitlement, don't we? There's a lot of that going around. And I think it was that type of entitlement that allowed her to do that. Oh, no, it was just a joke.
Was it kind
of... just a joke.
When people,
what did she say that? Was it?
Yeah.
So, immediately she said that, what was the reaction in the room? Was it kind of like...
It was a mass chups, basically. A mass... But when you get 10 people chups in, it's like a echo. It starts echoing
through a big cavernous space like that.
That's deep.
Wow.
That was something good. Mate,
do you think she learned never to crack that joke again in that setting?
Well, what worries me more is that people want to let her off.
That's deep. Yeah, but I'm just even shocked that she felt like brazen enough, like that could run.
I think there's a lot of that going around, you know. Like, oh, hey, listen, I've hung out with my fair share of black folk. Okay, so I think I'm entitled to say this. You see it on Twitter every day, but I guess it's easier on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter,
keyboard
actually,
warriors.
Let us know what's been taking a piss out of your life for next week. For next week, obviously, because we only got like 5 minutes
left of the show.
Because
Johnsy's
been so flipping interesting.
I know.
I've been spouting all types of shit, which is often going to waste.
And
I feel like I maybe spent 40 to 50 minutes too long on ass grabbing in the first half of the show.
I think so.
But the podcast will clarify whether I'm right or wrong.
And I didn't even get the chance to say how dope you was at Edinburgh Festival when to see you,
that's
Doc Brown.
I
might need some your help because I'm doing the Edinburgh Festival with the show The Letter this August at the Assembly Rooms. And I'm going to need
great
some help because everybody loses money doing Edinburgh. So I need some help.
The first time I heard about the way Edinburgh works, and they're like, you've got to be ready to lose £8,000. I was like, say what?
Yeah,
nah,
like,
bro.
Excuse me, you're not talking my language.
When Doc's performing, money's being made. Let's just get that straight. Yeah, you know what I did? We'll talk about this off air, but sponsorship's the way forward, man. Right. Don't put a hand in your pocket for that shit.
Okay.
Because Edinburgh don't love you. No. You got to love Edinburgh, you know? But we'll talk about it off air.
Crazy.
Because there's more work to be done on this show. Johnsy, I got to say thank you very much. Thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
It's been an illuminating conversation as we knew it would be. I think he heightened the tone. Personally,
I think definitely
the tone was dipping to the point where there was almost a kiss between an unrequited kiss. Let's be clear between Sarah and I.
Things Doc were getting, was trying to do a Madonna
getting very
and Drake
sweaty
on me.
Oh, talking of that, can I share my opinion?
Sure. Let's give a nice circular vibe to the show because we started with this
child abuse.
I was saying that was straight violation.
Violation of my furry eyebrowed mixed race brethren. Yeah. Thank you, Johnsy D, for coming in.
And we hope to
thank
hear
you to everybody
from you
for listening
again.
And contributing.
What is it? Breakingconvention.com. That's breaking with no G.
Breaking convention. So it looks like break in convention.
Break in convention.
Yes, and this is all happening over bank holiday weekend. So what is that? The first? Does it start? It's
Friday the first. We've got our naughty something night called The Works. Then we've got Saturday featuring Lay Twins. I forgot to mention that.
Ooh.
Sunday, one of the highlights is Boy Blue Entertainment, and Monday the Park Jam in Sparfields
Big.
Park. Completely
Big.
Free.
Yes, I'm going to be there, and I'm still waiting for the Breaking Convention TV to make a comeback.
Ooh, yes.
Again,
Sarah,
we
you will be
about
called
that.
First.
Yeah. That
right,
was
are we
going to
squeeze in a rap about anything or what? Because we've got 2 minutes.
Have you got a rap?
I've got one. I've written it.
Let's do it. Oh my gosh. I haven't
shout
even
out
let
to
me
everybody
get you
who gave suggestions. I'm trying to find you on Twitter. Rahil Ahmad, thank you. DJ Blue for the Coco comment. Matt Sibson for the In the Night Garden suggestion. Unicorns from Lady Stardust, thank you very much. But I'm going to go with Alex Corston's suggestion for a rap about anything. Service stations, inflated prices. So that's the rap about anything this week.
Because every week.
Oh, no.
Shit. Oh, yeah, I have something.
Wait. My flipping phone's died and I wrote the rhymes on my phone.
Oh. Well,
Freestyle.
Shut up. Everybody chill.
I'm going to start the beat
back.
Anyway.
Start the beat.
Start
the beat.
Don't mean to vex
start it,
bro.
Let's do it. Let's go.
You get more gas than in Texaco.
Here we go. Let's go. All right. Go.
Okay. It's going as fast as it can. Okay, so this is wrap up about everything. Thank you for tuning in to Tuesday Drive with Sarah, Doc, Johnsy D. Thank you so much for coming through to the show. I am poised, ready to hear about these inflated prices. Let's do it! Doc can rap about anything.
I'm driving round on a shopping trip, looking for a little juice I can stop and sip. Late night, shit's closed, man, I can't win. But I'm out here looking for a bargain.
Ideally a Rio or a Lucozade or a cheeky milkshake. Ooh, behave, yeah. But my options are limited, and that McDonald's got enough annoying kids in it, yeah. But I'm desperate, I'm so ashamed. Wrong turn, now I'm out on the motorway. What? If you were with me, you'd have heard frustration. No choice, gotta pull into a service station. But it's late, man, I can't walk in, though. Gotta deal with the man at the window. Alright, boss, can you grab an Oasis? You don't wanna know how serious his face is. It takes a minute, yo. But then off he bops to the fridge at the back of his little shop. And he returns with the bottle. Tells me something now that makes me wanna throttle. Gives me the almighty price. Here you go, mate, that's $1.99.
$1.99?
Fuck off, are you having a laugh, bruv? Why? But he says that's the price. I get a real wild look in my eyes. Man, fuck you, and fuck your petrol station. I'ma go home thirsty, get me, brethren? Cause where I'm from, an Oasis is 89p. Rude boy, you ain't skanking me.
That's right.
Sheesh, what the fuck with these station prices? All I wanna do is get a little nice drink. Oh, you ain't got no competition from the high street, but you ain't fucking with Doc, not likely. What the fuck with these service station prices? All I wanna do is get a little nice drink. Oh, you ain't got no competition from the high street, but you ain't fucking with Doc, not likely.
Not likely.
Thank you, Jonesy D. Thank you, Sarah Love. Thank you to all our listeners. We'll see you next week for the Drive Time Show. Sarah, Hugh, and Doc 2. Peace. We're out.